On Saturday, April 28th and Sunday, April 29th, the Des Moines Symphony Orchestra continues their collaboration with the Chicago Symphony in their Beyond the Score presentation. Music director and conductor Maestro Joseph Giunta joins us today, and thanks for dropping by, Maestro Giunta.
Oh, it's my pleasure as always, Jacqueline.
Well, you are going to be examining a famous work by Elgar that is shrouded in mystery, so tell us about this year's Beyond the Score production.
This is really a wonderful Beyond the Score because primarily the writer concentrates primarily on the music and not so much on the history of the piece, but it's a terrific piece. There's no piece like the variations on an original theme, the Enigma variations, no piece like it in the entire repertoire. It's so unique and so unusual. And boy, every time I conduct it, I'm reminded of what a great composer Elgar was and how he was so exacting in his detail and his orchestration and his musicianship of how he wanted things played. And it's just such a pleasure to study and restudy this piece, and I'm always happy to conduct it.
So Elgar is kind of viewed as the prodigal son of England because he really wasn't an outstanding composer when his career first started, and everybody was waiting around for some big English composer to hit the scene.
You're exactly right. I mean, the Purcell was the big composer that was 250 years before Elgar, and people were kept waiting and waiting. And of course, you had all these Germans that became famous: Beethoven, Mozart, and Wagner, and Meyerbeer. You know, everybody, Italians, you know, with Rossini and Verdi, but not much was happening on the musical scene in London. Now, London, for the most part in those days, Jacqueline, I'm talking now in the late 1800s, the musical scene was primarily academics. So Elgar tried on two occasions to break into this musical traditions of London society, and he just couldn't do it. He failed dramatically and went back to Malvern, which is about 40 kilometers north of London, and stayed in his country house. You know, he was the epitome of the country gentleman. His wife, of course, was from nobility, but gave up her status when she married Elgar, who was basically just a music teacher. But this business of England not having a world-renowned composer for so many years, and then Elgar trying to become that and failed up until these wonderful variations, the Enigma variations, were composed.
And they were sort of discovered by Hans Richter, who was in town conducting music from somebody totally different.
That's exactly right. He was there. They met. A friend of his had told him about this manuscript that had just finished. And the next thing you know, he's given the score to learn and then to play. You know, it's hard to believe. It's hard to understand for us to understand by today's world that Elgar was virtually a small town music teacher. He conducted the Worcester Symphony Orchestra, which he started. He had a variety of friends that were all just very common, everyday people. He had students coming in and out of his house. That was his life in the Malvern Hills. But after Enigma, he became this instant national treasure for England, and he was certainly hailed as the greatest English composer since Henry Purcell. And his photo, you know, he shares something along with Sibelius because his photo actually appeared on the 20-pound note up until 1920, which not many people know about, as did Sibelius's picture appeal on a coin in Helsinki that was used as a note of monetary value at that time.
So in addition to calling these the Enigma variations, Elgar kind of added a bit of mystery to each one of these variations. Just give us a rundown on the initials and all of this.
Yeah, like I said, there's no other piece like it, and there indeed is mystery associated with this piece on a variety of different levels. But basically, it is a theme that starts, and it's not really much of a theme. And the very first thing, you know, Elgar loved puzzles and playing jokes on people. So the very first two measures you hear is a B-flat, a G, a C, and an A. Dee-da-dee-dum. And of course, he referred to that as Edward Elgar. The second measure, he reverses that. Dee-da-dee-dum. So you have quarter, quarter, and two eighth notes. And then the third measure comes back to dee-da-da-dum. And then the fourth measure reverses it again. So right from the get-go, we know that there's something a little bit unusual that's happening. But this theme is then followed by 14 variations, and each variation has initials at the start of it, which refers to a particular person or an animal or someone, something in Elgar's life. And they include, of course, the first variation, which is his wife, Carolyn Alice Elgar, who he was deeply in love with for all of his life, and she really took very good care of him and inspired him in many ways. One of Elgar's most prominent and deepest friends was his publisher, August Johannes Jaeger, AJJ, that's variation 9, and the famous Nimrod variation. And there's other variations that, as I said, are his friends and his students, and this music just is so wonderfully charming and elegant and grand and nostalgic that it's lovely. But the part of the enigma is the variation towards the end that doesn't have any initials, just before the finale. It has 3 asterisks, and there's all sorts of ideas about what this might be about. Elgar was known as pretty much as a ladies' man, and some people have said that this could be Lady Mary Ligon, who sailed to Australia when he wrote this variation. It could also be Helen Weaver, who Elgar had been engaged to for 18 months before she left for New Zealand. So who knows? Who knows what this was all about? But it is also interesting that this variation takes place just before the finale, which has his own initials on it. And so there's, of course, all kinds of hidden meaning that this mysterious person, this mysterious female, was close to him in many ways, and that's why he separates himself so far from the first variation, which is his wife. So there's all kinds of legends and anecdotes that go along with this piece.
And he also drove musicologists crazy because he said there was another larger theme that goes with it but is not played.
That's exactly right. And this has over and over been investigated. And I remember reading an article in the New York Times some years ago that said we finally solved the enigma, and they thought that it was God Save the Queen. And of course, that didn't work. And other people thought, well, he wasn't so fond of the Scots. Maybe it's Auld Lang Syne. Well, that didn't work. And I just recently had a conversation with Christopher Seaman, who your listeners would remember, who visited here and conducted our orchestra last month. Christopher said that if we just take the first the theme and play it in A minor instead of G minor, it spells out Elgar's daughter Clarice. Who knows what this is all about? But whether it's a happenstance or not, but the point is that there were many, many people, many historians that tried to guess this enigma while he lived. According to him, no one got it right, and he took the answer with him to his grave.
So these concerts are on April 28th and 29th, and how can folks get more info and information about tickets?
Sure. Ticket information is always available on our website, which is dmsymphony.org. And of course, about 30 minutes before each performance, 7:30 Saturday night and 2:30 Sunday afternoon, people can show up at the Civic Center box office and there should be tickets available. And we also, Jacqueline, have Arlene DeVries, this wonderful person that talks a little bit about the music and what to expect. And that starts about an hour before each performance in the Stoner Theater.
You can hear our interview with Maestro Junta again on our website at iowapublicradio.org. Thanks for today's Des Moines Symphony's Beyond the Score, Elgar's Enigma Variations, goes to Iowa Public Radio's John Pemble and Chris Fenton, and a big thanks to Maestro Junta for joining us today, and thank you so much.
My pleasure.